Okay. All right, Sabbath blessings. If you can kneel, please do so. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you. And we love you. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath. Thank you for giving us what we need to grow in Christ and to be one in the same, you know, all in one accord, so that when the latter rain falls, we are ready for it. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us for that day. And thank you for giving us understanding and utterance and all that we need to help bring them in. There's so many people out there that just don't know what's happening. And thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list, all those that were mentioned earlier in the text chat as well as now. And thank you so much, Father, for hearing this prayer and blessing us. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord, we're all together. I just realized last night, and we have a second room with this turbo meeting thing, and I was able to make a second room just by clicking a few buttons this morning, and if anybody wants to, I probably won't be putting anything on the screen until maybe fellowship, but there is a way for you to see it. Oh, and by the way, let me just double check something here for Sister Judith. I want to make sure she's in, because you have to check your email there, Sister. Nope, she's not in. Check your email, and if you haven't gotten your email because you have Gmail, and you know there's a strong possibility I'm either blocked or in your spam folder because you're probably listening on WTPR. Go ahead and put in your username and the password that you gave me, and you'll be able to get to the text chat, no problem, because I set you up. Let me just check my email real quick and see if she emailed me back or anything like that. And for those of you, let me just see. Oh no, those are bounces from the server, so that's not from her. Yeah, for some reason somebody put in an email address when they requested a book that we mail out, and it's been bouncing all night and all day yesterday, all night, and of course this morning it's bouncing. But it's coming from the server, so no one sees it but me. Okay, I don't see any replies from Sister Judith, and so if you can hear me, Sister, just go ahead and use that username and password that you gave me to get into the text chat, because I reset your account and deleted the old one and then rebuilt it the way you wanted it done, because this the text chat can be a little annoying for some. Yeah, she's still not in, but after church, I mean, if you want to look at it now, you can. Let me just see if I still have it in the memory. No, I don't. And I just want to put this up. All you're going to see is Q&A Sabbath. Okay. But and this link will not work next week. So for those of you in the text chat, if you're straight on WTPR, there's nothing I could do about it. But if you click that link in the text chat, you can see whatever's on my screen. Alright. Yeah, every week he's not going to be able to hear me. He's got to do the streamer. If it says no sound, if you have no sound, let me just put this in the room for him. I don't know what else to do there. There is another way. Just give me a second here for Brother Matthew to I sent it to Brother Bill, so let me go into the private message I sent him. There's a direct link that bypasses everything, and he should be able to it should work for him there. Paste and go. For some reason it doesn't work with this browser. Matthew or anyone else, click here to get sound. Okay. All right. They should be getting it. We've got 50 people in the WTPR right now. But again, that link I put in there a few minutes ago, everybody came. So you can see, there's a bunch of people that came in, but this is, it's what's called a webinar. There is no sound that comes with it, or anything else. There's no sound, or the text chat is useless, so don't bother clicking it. The interactive stuff doesn't work. It does, but it's not going to work for what we're doing here, so you're going to waste your time downloading that thing. And because next week the user ID for the chat room is going to change, and so we got a lot of people in there right now. And the only way that you can hear my voice is if you're in the regular text chat, to where you have the player running in the background. So there's actually three things happening right now. But yeah, you can see just about anything, and it's instantaneous. That's the thing. Let me click that out. So like if I go to the website later, it's instantaneous. It doesn't. There's no lag. There is a live streamer that I can use that does have audio and video and all that stuff, but boy, is it gonna, it's an 18 to 25 second lag, and it's expensive, but they gave it to me for free, and I can see why, because who wants to use that unless everybody's on live, on the live stream, but yeah, so sometimes, during the church service, I'll just leave it like that for now, and if Caleb, who's doing the stream on, if you're on Caleb on the YouTube stream, there's nothing. That's his problem. I can't fix it for him. Okay? Try Bill's link. It worked for me. Okay, good. Yeah. And so what I did is, let me just, before we start, I got to do this because we're not streaming normal today. If you notice here, see how it doesn't even show up? This is Edge. The player doesn't even show up when it's a stream Edge. See, it's not even showing up. I put that little blue arrow there, and I bolded this area. If you click that, it'll bring you, that's because I got security on this thing. But that right there is how it, you'll see. Let me just see if we go to the broadcast WTPR. Okay, there it is. See, that player will work on here, but it'll echo. You click this, and again, that'll show up, and then after it shows up, you just hit play. But it's obviously, it's not going to work here because of the security, because I'm inside a stream twice, so you don't want to do that. You'll mess everything up, and so for now, we'll just leave it right there, okay? So, and it's not taken next to anything on the bandwidth, so it's not going to slow us down. All rsync access denied. Then change your browser. Use a different browser. All right, so. Yeah, oh no, we're banned again? But yeah, this will work like that. I'm too close to the mic. The thing I put in there for Bill with the 778 on end, that will work regardless of the browser. It should. If it doesn't, then it's probably, if you're using a cell phone, then I don't do cell phones. I mean, I don't mind the responsive way the web pages, I build my web pages to respond to cell phones, but that's as far as I'll go. I don't play that. It's, I got way too much to do. I can't go there. But anyway, let's start. All right, so, and we're going to go a few minutes over because we had problems because YouTube banned us this week from streaming and anything else, and so we got to do what we got to do. But yeah, we can live stream wherever we want now because I have two rooms in this turbo thing. So, but it's good to see everybody in there. And yeah, and but those text chats, they're useless. I think maybe you could text chat with each other, but that's about it. But it's really crummy. Not much you could do about that. So anyway, picking up from where we left off last Sabbath, as we look around and we see all the apostasy in every so-called Protestant church out there, and especially the SDA church, that has absolutely every pastor in agreement with either creating the image of the beast in Rome to declaring Allah is God, and even agreeing that homosexual marriage is perfectly okay, we see that the end is close at hand. And before anyone still in the SDA church emails me about what I just said, please, please, because I know some SDAs are listening right now. I know we also have people that are spying on us because they're looking for any piece of dirt that they can come up with. It's just so sad that there's people like that out there, but they're out there. But if you're in the SDA church or any of these other strange churches that supposedly keep Sabbath, even though they break so many other commandments throughout the week, if your Seventh-day Adventist pastor is still in the apostate Seventh-day Adventist church, then he is also in the eyes of our God as one who is ignoring the will of the Father in heaven when it comes to his command to leave the churches that have a leadership that sees no sin in condoning such things like homosexual marriage, 501c3, Allah is God, whatever. Because they do condone it. There's, quit lying to yourself and think they don't. I mean, your pastor's going to say otherwise. He's going to say, oh, no, no, we don't condone this. No, no, no. But the basic reality is each time that pastor casts his check from the 501c3, Seventh-day Adventist General Conference, he stands as a hypocrite. Because, you know, and the eyes of the people see this, which is so sad because they're being hypocrites as well, because he says he doesn't agree with the wicked actions of the General Conference, but yet he's cashing the check. For if he really had a problem with their wickedness and truly believed the truth as it is written and had a heart that obeyed the Lord of the Bible, see, this is important for all of us. This is a closer walk in Christ. You don't want to be under a leader who can't follow Christ. He worships the money. It doesn't matter how big his paycheck is, he should not take it, he should not sign it, and he should not cash it, because if he does, he is in agreement with Allah being God. The Holy, well, some of them even say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, but the homosexual marriage and the image of the beast, and you know, and giving your tithe monies to the Pope, as well as a thousand other very wicked things that this General Conference is doing now, even editing the Spirit of Prophecy books. Yes, he's in agreement. He'll tell you no, he's not. But if he cashes the check, he's in agreement. And I know that for a fact because, I mean, I was offered $6 million decades ago to stop preaching present truth so as to do something else for the Lord. If I, a sinner, saved by grace, can deny the flesh, so can any man or woman alive. It's not that hard. But if you don't love the Lord thy God, then it's impossible. It's very hard. You don't have any faith to trust him, to follow him. Not only will each Seventh-day Adventist pastor have to answer to the Lord as to why he never left the church, his written word and his inspired Spirit of Prophecy writings stated was dangerous to remain in, and especially when he, being a pastor, see, this is where the rubber hits the road. He's a pastor in an apostate church. This means he has been ordained. This means he has an opportunity to glorify God like no one else in Seventh-day Adventist church, except, of course, the other pastors, okay? But he has the chance to not only leave when the General Conference started to preach their Catholic dogma, and really, really started preaching it in a big way back in the 80s, and as well as when they started sending tithe to the Pope some years ago, or declaring from the General Conference that homosexual marriage is okay. They did that in California on camera. I've got it on SDAapostasy.org. And so they see all these things. The pastor who's in the church has a blessed opportunity, a chance to make a public display of obedience unto Jesus Christ and leave the church, so as to make it clear to the precious souls in that church that the God of the Bible is to be loved by his people, to the point that when the leaders in the church deny him as Lord of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, each and every pastor will also have to answer to the Lord as to the fact his sinful decision to stay in that evil church so as to pay his bills or whatever. He's going to be held accountable for millions of dear and precious souls that have been conned into staying into that fallen church, because as Satan knows, manipulating the human mind is easy to do. Satan knew, since the pastors don't leave the people, don't leave, you know, the church, the people would naturally assume it's okay for them to stay in the apostate SDA church as well. See, that's where Satan likes to play his games. He can get people to self-deceive very easily. Well, if the pastor, who appears to be blessed of God, he's articulate, he's an excellent orator, he understands the scripture left and right, and he's staying in the church that he knows and we all know is in apostasy, well, if he's staying in, then I must be missing something here, and I need to do more Bible study, because he's a better Bible study than I am, and so I'm going to stay in the church. Because it's kind of like what the Catholic Church did. I remember when I first left the Catholic Church, and my dad approached me, and he said, if I put five priests in the room, there's over 100 years of theological study, and you, who left the church a few months ago, know more than they. And that's how the people think. They think because they're leaders in the church that the people sitting in the pews can't possibly understand the scripture better than the pastor, when that's their duty. They're supposed to go beyond. Just like with commandment number 5, you're supposed to honor your parents by taking the truth they gave you and go even further with it. You know, it's just, but they don't. So Satan will hang his hat there, or his horn, whatever you want to call it, and get the people to assume that, well, since the pastor's staying in, it must not be that bad, so I'll stay in. That shows they don't read their Bibles. They don't study their Bibles. And they're being led by a wolf to stay in. And so, like the popes of Rome, who will receive the wrath of God for leading countless souls into hellfire that will ignite them at the end of the 1,000 years, the Seventh-day Adventist General Conference leaders and every single solitary Seventh-day Adventist pastor and deacon on the payroll will receive the wrath of God for leading all their church members into hellfire with them, because the Bible's clear. It says when apostasy shows up, even Sister White said it, when apostasy shows up, you got to get out of that church. And I could prove it. Let me just, I didn't think I was going to go anywhere, but let me go to apostasy. Let me go here real quick so you can see. If those of you that are watching this, the stream I'm doing, let me go to, I got a bunch of studies proving the SDA church is Babylon, but not the Babylon, but I couldn't fit that in this little menu I made, so. And then, of course, the Roman SDA Church, with all these statements that the Catholic Church makes that coincide with what the SDA leaders say. But here it is. Ellen White's quotes on Babylon. These quotes that are from Sister White's writings, you're not going to find or even hear from a Seventh-day Adventist pulpit. Not a one of them. Why? Because they're all telling you. A lot of them are probably, like a lot of them that I bold, and of course the ones that are in yellow are saying, you need to get out of this church. The church is going to fall. She predicted it would fall. She also stated that the loud cry goes forth in the exact same way the midnight cry went forth. That was 1844, right? Okay. Well, thereabouts, a little bit, a few years before, in fact. And it just continued on. And if you want to see it in the bulk of the whole thing, when Miller started doing the studies, you can see the loud cry starting in his household alone. But the fact of the matter here is they she said the loud cry is going to go forth in the same way the midnight cry went forth. When did the Seventh-day Adventist Church become the Seventh-day Adventist Church? 1863, right? More than two decades after the loud cry, midnight cry. And so that tells us the loud cry goes forth in the same way from people that have that are not under a structured brick-and-mortar denomination, if you will. The Seventh-day Remnant Church is more or less like a Seventh-day Remnant movement. We don't have any brick-and-mortars, even though an ex-pastor did build, you know, using Seventh-day Remnant money, some buildings and some churches in the Philippines, you know, outside of biblical jurisprudence. He's left the church. He's left the church in open sin and really, really, really bad. I mean, he's no longer. But the overwhelming majority of all the churches, 99.999% of them, while he was around, still met in homes the way it's supposed to be. And that's how the loud cry is going to go forth. They're not going to be in any brick-and-mortar buildings. And so, the only excuse, the people that follow these pastors, or even the people in the pew next to them, because some people look up to some of the people in the pews, they're going to be in the flames of hellfire as well, because they obeyed or worshipped the creature over and above the Creator God, as Romans 1:25 prophesied. So their only excuse was on that final day is that they didn't trust the Lord God of heaven to pay their bills if they ripped up their paychecks and walked out. I remember I was offered, after I, you know, dedicated my life to Christ, this business I used to run, the telemarketing thing, the guy approached me. This is before... this was before the website he was even born. He approached me and he said that he would give me $75,000 cash and 75% commission, where you usually only got 35%, and you had to pay your drivers and your people with that. He was going to give me 75% commission if I would come back and work for him. And I says, no way. The Lord told me to get out of that business, you know, because you're raising money for the cops, and it was crooked. Let's just put it that way. It's not hard to do. The Lord will, and granted, okay, when we left the city, my wife and I, with all eight of our children, just like Sister White said, and we didn't even know this because we didn't even know who she was until years later, we ended up living in a house for $100 a month, 5 acres, you know, 4 bedrooms, well, actually 5 when I fixed the one, it turned into my office, but, for 8 years, 8.5 years, we were there. We wouldn't go on welfare or nothing like that. And that's, you know, right around the time that I said no thank you to the $75,000. Because we, my wife and I, wanted to see the Lord's hand move, and it moved. But these pastors, they're all preachers of filthy lucre. I mean, come on, they got the 501c. Some of them, like Doug Batchelor, have more than one. That guy even makes money when someone in the SDA church dies. They give all their death benefits to Doug Batchelor, kind of like that Corbin thing that the Lord was exposing the Jews of back in the day when the Jews' parents got older. They're supposed to take care of their parents, but they would yell Corbin. In other words, oh no, we're going to dedicate our money to the church, and so we're not going to take care of our ailing and aging parents. No. And that's what Doug Batchelor does right now. He gets people, he literally has an underwriter's agency under a 501c3, taking people's debt benefits away from their families and just pumping it into his pockets. And so, these people that refuse to trust the Lord to pay their bills, with Bibles in hand, just to name a few, they ignored the Red Sea. They ignored the Red Sea splitting. They ignored the manna that fell. For 40 years daily, well, except for Sabbath, of course, but they ignored all that. In other words, they said, oh, that happened back then, it's not going to happen now. Really? What about your bread and water shall be sure? Those are the kind of people that get the mark of the beast, because they're not going to be able to trust the Lord to give them the bread and the waters so that when the buy and sell goes down and if the Pope gets his way, it's going to happen in 2027. Yeah, these guys will get the mark. because they're, I mean, come on, they're 501c3s. They're all about the money. They're preachers of filthy lucre. They even ignore, you know, the 4,000 and 5,000 that Jesus fed, you know, with a couple of fish and some loaves. I mean, it's truly amazing how many people are going to burn to ash in hellfire to die for all eternity for such ridiculous, short-sighted reasons as where their next meal or where their next car payment's coming from. But that's par for the course, the last days. I mean, did not Jesus make it clear when he said in Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26, he said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Because we all got our trials in life. The Lord's going to give us all that we need in life to test us, especially now. Yeah, some of us, and you know who you are. I'm not going to mention any names because you might get all puffed up with pride, but we all go through it, myself and my wife included. We get these major, major, you know, massive trials that attack us, some that literally regenerate a tear every day, you know, for decades, let's say, that we go through. And you might think, oh, God's not really there for us. You know, all I could say to someone like that is just shut up, please. You know, because he is allowing those trials to come to you so that you can be strong enough to handle what's coming next. When they start enforcing the mark, and you don't have two nickels to rub together, and even if you did, you can't buy anything anyway, unless, of course, you want to get the mark. Are you going to be able to trust him for that? Not if you blew him off every time a trial came. The trials come to get you stronger. There's a reason for them. That way you can look back and say, well, that's where the, you know, experience comes, and then hope comes with experience, because somebody put that verse in a room. You know what I'm talking about. But hope comes and then experience. No, experience comes and then hope comes because you can't have hope unless you've had the experience, unless you've seen his hand move before. And those that are babes in Christ, you can also have hope even if you didn't have the experience yet on a personal basis, because you've got the Bible in hand. You saw what happened at the Red Sea. You saw the manna falling for 40 years. Or whatever, and you saw Jesus feeding all those people and raising the dead, healing the sick, and all this other good stuff. So, verse 26 says, "For what?" Now, here's where a lot of these pastors in the SDA church, and all the churches, in fact, with the 501c3, this is where they really got a problem. It says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" See, that's why it was an easy thing for me to turn down the $75,000 or the $6 million. You know, because what good's that going to do? Because I can look in ahead, and because I was still in my 30s, I think, when I was offered at millions. And I got the contract on the website for people that think I'm yanking your chain. It's on the site. It was sent. The actual 38-page contract was sent to me, mailed. And literally, I had to scan it and put it on the site because it was literally mailed to my house. The wolves who clamor after the filthy lucre while standing in prayer behind the pulpits today, like the pagans do, have done their work for Satan in amazing ways across every single denomination, not just the Catholics and the SDAs. These many false prophets have turned the hearts of the people away from their God, just as prophecy said they would. And this is why so many people embrace sin and even believe, as Rome taught the precious Catholic people, that they can be saved in their sins instead of from the end result of their sins, which we all know is death, because sin begets death. I mean, the wages of sin is death. It says that plainly in the scriptures. And so Satan's deadly seeds of lies quickly settle deeper into the heart of every soul that places their flesh, their pastor, whatever, you know, vice they may have, be it alcohol, drugs, whatever, or even their car payments. When they put any of this stuff before the Lord and his will for them, which is happy and eternal life, well, then it's on them. I mean, worse yet, we all know how Satan is the exact opposite of love. In fact, Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, verses 11 to 12, that many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquities shall abound, which is, you know, today's world, the love of many shall wax cold. So how do you suppose that happens? Why is it that when sin abounds, the love of many waxes cold? Well, it's because there's no love in Satan. And when iniquity abounds, that means everybody's getting into sin. So if everybody's getting into sin, guess who they're following? And if they're following Satan, that means there's no love. And so the love of many is going to wax cold. That's why my wife was telling me about an article or a video or something she saw the other day. A guy gets hit by a motorcycle. He's walking down the road. He gets hit by a motorcycle, gets knocked down. He's laying out there in the street. Whether he's knocked out or not, I don't know. I never saw the video. Somebody comes along with a car and hits the guy again. And people are walking by. No one's helping this guy. And it happened in California. And then a little while later, he gets hit again. That people just don't care anymore. I mean, case in point, young girls are killing their babies because they don't want to get stretch marks. Or they don't know how they're going to be able to, you know, they can't pay their own bills. How are they going to be able to pay the bills of a baby? Yeah, I never forget, you know, especially when the abortion thing started coming out big time, like when the Roe v. Wade thing went down, when I was a very young man, and I was looking at, and you see these articles where these so-called experts are saying, oh yeah, it's going to cost at least $1.2 to $1.5 million to raise each child up to the age of 18. They were cultivating people to kill their children with that statement. I've had 8 kids. I've never even reached $1 million in, if you added all my paychecks up until the time my first child reached 18, let alone the other 7. It was fatherall. It was a joke. It was idiocy. It was a bold-faced lie to get people to the point where, oh, man, I got a baby. How am I going to come up with $1 million? I mean, you do the math. Divide $1 million by 18. How much money you got to have? How much you got to make each year? It was just all lies. Seriously, I mean, my wife and I raised 8 children with just the 2 nickels we had in our pockets. So the love waxes cold because the God of hate is who they follow. It's by their fruits we should know them. That's just a no-brainer. Still, even with all this hate running rampant in the world over, you know, from the riots to political rivalry, our God is still doing all he can to reach out to these precious souls he created. And not only created, but he sent his only begotten son to die for us. Psalms 86:15 says, so Psalms 86 verse 15 says, thanks again, Brother Sean, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Yet Rome and all that follow her sinful lead do all they can to, as well as, you know, to slander. They do all they can to make our God look bad and slander him because they got caught. It's the same old story. You know, this is why when some people leave the Seventh-day Remnant Church, they immediately go on the warpath and declare truth that we have preached unto them for years, which is confirmed by Scripture that we present unto them, because we didn't write the Bible. They all of a sudden now declare it's all a lie. But while within our number, they declare it as God's truth. How's it? I mean, these breakneck flips in spiritual reality is a sign of the times. It's called the shaking. It's happening right now, the shaking. And but praise the Lord. Those that do in fact study the Word of God know where the truth is. The elect cannot be deceived. That's why whenever we see, if you want to call it a schism, call it a schism, but it's not really a schism when you get a few people leaving. But let's just say it's a schism and you get a few people leaving. Guess what happens? The people that are serious will open, because this happened recently, people that are serious open up their Bibles to make sure what is being preached is truth or not. And when they open up their Bibles, guess what happens? They stay with the church that has the truth, and the other people that don't open their Bibles don't even bother to do the study because they don't know how to, because they've never done it before anyway. They just go to their pastor, who's leading them down the path to hell, and ask him, what does the prophecy mean? Or her, for that matter, because in today's world, you got female pastors out there. And so that's just par for the course. And so the only people they will follow, they will get to follow, you know, these fallen leaders, the only people that they're going to be able to get to follow them in their wicked web and deceit are those that don't study Bibles anyway. And rightly so, for even the birds of a feather flock together. And we all know what the little birds mean in prophecy, do we not? Yeah. Jesus actually let the cat out of the bag with the parable of the sower of the seed. The birds, the little birds, are demons. I mean, the basic reality is, even in nature, we don't see the mourning dove flying in unison with the carrion sniffing buzzard. I mean, no. And so those that don't study the Word of God in the last days, they're going to naturally join the preachers that don't study the Word as well, because they have an explanation. They have their own creed. Because that, it's just the way it is. And so, these kind of people, they really do. It's just like with the SDA leader that cashes the check from the General Conference. And the people that sit in the pews under that pastor that cashed his check, or the people that sit in the pews under the pastor that left the SDR church, let's say, they all worship the preacher more than the Creator. And that is why they believe the lies. In fact, it was not only prophesied they would, they were warned about all this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. See, this is why the elect cannot be deceived. If you hear what Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, because they don't see. How do you get the love of the truth? Study the Scriptures. That's how you get the love of the truth. Verse 11 says, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And this is why they believe everything from Allah is God to homosexual marriage is okay to the 1 hour with the beast starts before the plagues begin, even though the book of Esther openly exposed. You don't even need the spirit of prophecy to see that one. Verse 12 says that they're all going to be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Because that's actually what they're doing. Think about that. The greatly confused Catholics are a perfect example of this. No, they aren't known for Bible study, but common sense would have to be seen as beyond their grasp when they see their very own priests molesting and sometimes killing their little boys and girls to satisfy the lusts of their flesh. Yet they still remain in the church. They're going to be held, the people in the pews are going to be held accountable just as much as the Moabites were held accountable for offering their precious children onto the flames of Chemosh. But when it comes to the dear SDA people who are known for Bible study, they're also in much trouble when they study prophecy, knowing how joining the church with the state is boldly creating an image to the beast in Rome, because the Catholic Church is a church and state. And this is besides, embracing homosexuality, Allah, or even saying Sunday Sabbaths are no big deal in the Seventh-day Adventist Church now. I mean, they held a Sunday Sabbath service at that racetrack. I did a video about that last year or so, and advertised it as such. And on every Sabbath, because they bought their venue for 2 straight weeks, which means for 2 straight Sabbaths, they openly broke Sabbath on camera in front of everyone. And the people in the pews are going to be held accountable for that, because they know what they're looking at. The SDAs are Bible readers. They're going to answer that just as much as the people that stayed in the city to follow the lead of their king in Jeremiah's day, too. Some pastors have committed adultery, in fact, and some have even committed both adultery and child molestation at the same time. Yet their church members stay in their churches because they refuse to get close to Christ by daily Bible study. It's the last days. The mindset has to be there. I mean, we have just a handful of years to make our paths straight now. This is the worst time in human history to forsake the truth as it is written. The churches of the world are wide open now. They're all nothing more than wide open pits of rotted pig slop. And next to no one knows, because Satan has watered down their faith so much, their spiritual sense and their eyesight is gone. And to make it easier for him to control them, He gives them the NIV or the NASB or any other bogus Bible he can find, or edited Spirit of Prophecy books, and then gets them to defend them, knowing the Jesuits wrote those books. And it was easy to do so directly after he got them to compromise their morals by staying under the leadership of the long prophesied wolves who said, nothing wrong with a 501c3, nothing wrong with keeping Sunday holy, nothing wrong with homosexuality, nothing wrong with Allah being God, nothing wrong with using edited, or us editing, because they did it, editing the books of Ellen White. I mean, is it not written that most Christians in the last days will not have an understanding of basic doctrine, let alone hardcore prophecy? Yeah, it's in Amos chapter 8. Verses 11 and 12. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And then verse 12 says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. You know, this shows how close to the plagues we really are, because the corrupted mindset of the Christians after the plagues falls is not something that just magically becomes reality the split second the plagues begin. No, that's not how it works. That mindset has to be cultivated in advance of those plagues. Our Father saw the end from the beginning. He didn't make a bunch of changes as he was doing this. No, he saw it from the beginning. Hence the reason the angel with the inkhorn and the investigated judgment. He knew that after so much time of denying his word and embracing all sorts of sin, they're actually going to come to a point where, okay, that's it. Cups overflowed. Plagues begin. Done deal. The Lord is reading the hearts of the people as we speak. You know, the plagues come because all the preachers are spiritual dwarfs, wherein they too stop studying the Word of God, so that when the card-carrying Satanists in the Church of Rome, and yes, they do glorify Satan in the Vatican, I mean, they even have a throne in the Vatican right now. I did something on this years ago. I did a radio broadcast on it as well, but you can't really show pictures on the radio. But one of the brothers reminded me of this throne. You have to be 20, 30 feet tall to sit in this throne. It's literally up on this big pedestal, this massive throne in the Vatican. If somebody sends me a link, I'll put it in the room later. That's where Satan is going to sit, acting like he's Jesus. I have no doubt in my mind. I mean, come on, the Vatican is his masterpiece on earth. That's his headquarters. And so when these card-carrying Satanists in the churches of Rome, as well as all the other churches under their thumb, announce doctrines of demons and traditions of men as viable Bible truths, their strange blindness makes it impossible for them to see Satan's lies. And so after the plagues finally begin, it is then they start to realize their doom, because now it's obvious. I mean, they got boils on their bodies now. They finally get it. It is now as prophesied. They finally grab Bibles, like Amos said, to try to find even a smattering of forgiveness or even just a shred of vindication so as to escape certain doom, but they cannot find it because they refuse to embrace it when they had the chance to do so, which is now, before the plagues begin. Better yet, before they enforce the mark. So you got to be ready for that. You got to have your trials. You got to get ready for that. So when probation ends, that which is penned in Revelation 22:11 is going to be declared. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, you know, they can read the Bible cover to cover daily for the remaining months of life on earth during the plagues of Revelation, and not a single one of them are going to get it. Not one of them can be saved, not one. And what's so shocking in all this? And I'm almost done, so we're only going to another minute or two. But what's so shocking is Christianity is not rocket science. Living a Christian life is not that much different than being a non-believer when it comes to the normal day-by-day activities. I mean, as a Christian, we still have to go to school. We still have to go to work when we get older. We still have to pay our bills, and we still have to find friends or even a spouse and still have to have children. Well, you don't have to have children, but you know what I mean. And the only difference between the two lifestyles is that the Christian won't have to deal with getting pulled over for drunk driving. They won't have to worry about getting lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. They won't have to worry about getting all sorts of disease for eating bad foods or from fornicating with people covered in disease. I mean, the Christian also doesn't have to worry about what their neighbor thinks when the gossip of Satan rolls through their lives, or that they don't have enough money to buy a fancy car or a fancy house, or that When they enforce the mark, they won't even have to worry about whether where they're going to live or how they're going to get their next meal, because the promises of God are very real to us. I mean, the next meal is no doubt going to get many that do not study their Bibles to cave. I mean, when they enforce the mark in the next few years, a lot of people are going to cave. And yeah, they may have even read Isaiah 33:16. That speaks of the time the mark is enforced, when it says, we, the obedient people of God, shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. This is where the 501c3 preachers of filthy lucre can't see it. They don't trust the Lord to do this. So to them, the Red Sea, the manna, all that stuff's fallen or all. He did that in the past. No, that doesn't happen anymore. Yeah, that's the mindset Satan's been working at for the last 2,000 years. But without daily Bible study, they're never going to gain that, you know, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, to where they trust that promise with all their heart. I mean, seriously, if you got married today and you only sat down to talk to your spouse once a week, once a month, or worse yet, once a year, there is no way you're going to be able to know your spouse as you should know your spouse in the end. Well, as Christian, as we are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the husbandman. If we neglect our time alone with him each and every day, a day will soon come, because it's prophesied, when we're going to cry out to him when in trouble, like those Amos said are going to do soon after the plagues begin, because now they realize, uh-oh, prophecy must be right. I got boils all over my body, and that Christian over there doesn't got a single one. So what is Jesus going to say to them when they cry out? It's in Matthew 7:23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And did you notice in Isaiah 33, it said that not just bread and water are promised, a safe place to dwell is also promised. In fact, when my wife and I and all our children left the big city to live on a farm nearly 30 years ago, I was just thinking about that the other night, it's almost 30 years. When we had no clue that we were even supposed to move away from the city until many years later, when we finally read about it in the Spirit of Prophecy books, because we never even heard of those books. They didn't even know who Ellen White was. We understood the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 about, in the last days your daughters shall prophesy, but we didn't know she was out there. And so the Word of God also does say city life is not wise cover to cover, but case in point, as we look around today, with all the riots and other sinful fruits of city life, I mean, can anyone not see how that which Ezekiel prophesied has not come true in our day? I mean, he stated thousands of years ago in Ezekiel 7, verse 23, that the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Next Sabbath, we're going to touch on how Satan is going to use fear to make some Christians literally walk away from Jesus Christ. Many bright lights have already gone out. More are soon to fall out as well. Well, pray you were blessed. You were blessed, rather. Sorry. I'll be back in a minute.